Now, Roger Goodell, the commissioner, at the podium.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have traded the 7th pick to the Buffalo Bills. With the 7th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Josh Allen, quarterback, Wyoming.
Tre'Davious White, defensive back, LSU.
Jermaine Edmonds, linebacker, Virginia Tech.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Thursday to you. We've had a fun week so far on the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Tuesday, always the Twitter Tuesday episode where you guys brought outstanding items to the table, and make sure that you continue to fill up that show. Hit me up on Twitter, at TheJoeMarino, hashtag Twitter Tuesday, to let me know what you want me to get into, whether that's a take or a question. I've really loved doing that, and you guys bring outstanding stuff to the table every single week. So please fill that up again. And then, of course, Water Cooler Wednesday yesterday with Anthony Marino from Buffalo Rumblings was a great discussion. Really enjoyed that. Don't miss either episode, but especially don't miss that spot with Anthony yesterday where I thought he brought some great information to the table and challenged me with some good questions as well. So make sure you catch up on that. Now today, I want to spend some time reflecting on some of the news that has come across regarding the Buffalo Bills over the course of the week. You know, with the built-in episodes Tuesday and Wednesday, we didn't have a chance to kind of dig into some of these more newsy items, and so I want to use today to kind of catch up. And yesterday, it was announced that the Buffalo Bills signed edge defensive end Eli Harrell. This is the 17th. Unrestricted free agent that Brandon Bean has signed this offseason. One-year deal. We don't know the terms of that deal. He's 25 years old. He actually just turned 25 in January, and he's entering his fifth season. So he was a younger guy coming into the league, has a few years under his belt. He was a third-round pick by the San Francisco 49ers, number 79 overall. A couple of things here that I found interesting. First, that he's 243 pounds, and the Bills listed him as a defensive end. So, you know, leaner guy, you kind of think, you know, 4-3 defense, you're looking for those burly, you know, those base ends that are 260-plus, you know, 270, 280 even, playing base defensive end in a 4-3. But he's 6'3", 243. And the Bills brought him in to be a defensive end. It means a couple of different things for me. First of all, maybe we shouldn't dismiss the Bills being interested in Brian Burns, who weighs 249 in a role on this 4-3 defense. Also, that he could do some more versatile things. And with the Bills rumored to have some interest in Brian Burns and now bringing in Eli Harrell, maybe they're going to be more multiple with their fronts. Maybe they'd like guys that can do that Lorenzo Alexander deal where they give you some ability and space but also can rush the passer. And so what I really like about this is it challenges the depth that currently exists at defensive end for the Buffalo Bills. I think we know the top three guys, Jerry Hughes, Trent Murphy, Shaq Lawson, and then there's this Mike Love, Eddie Yarborough mix as the fourth and fifth defensive ends on this team. Well, I think those guys clearly need competition because that's an uninspiring batch of players. And in the NFL where you can never have enough good pass rushers, I think this move makes a lot of sense. Now, Harrell is interesting in terms of his athleticism. 6'3", 243 pounds, 33-inch arms. Let's look at his combine numbers. Compared to other defensive ends, he had a 10-yard split of 1.56. That's in the 93rd percentile. His 40-yard dash was a 4.6. That's in the 93rd percentile. Vertical jump 35 inches, 74th percentile. Broad jump 123 inches, 88th percentile. Three cone drill, 7.07, which is 77th percentile. And 20-yard short shuttle, which is a 4.16. That's 92 percentile. This is a very good athlete. I mean, he tested, you know, up above 74% in every meaningful test that an edge rusher can be measured in. And so that in and of itself is appealing, that there's a guy with some juice here that can get after the passer. Now, one thing that I get excited about with Eli Harold in this role with the Bills is that I think the Bills will use him in a specific way, rushing the passer. You look at this guy's career, he's played over 1,600 snaps. Of those 1,600 snaps, 806 of them have come as a run defender, 617 as a pass rusher, and 242 of those were played in pass coverage. So what I really like is the idea of him honing in on just being a pass rusher, where in those 617 pass rush snaps for his career, according to Pro Football Focus, he has 9 sacks, 10 QB hits, 27 hurries. So that's 46 total pressures in 617 pass rush snaps. You know, I don't think you're going to ask him to go in there and set the edge. Not at 243 pounds against Marcus Cannon, you know, or all these other great offensive linemen in the NFL. You're not going to ask him to go squeeze down, that B gap. I don't think you're going to ask him to, you know, play a ton in space, given the Bills have, you know, Milano and Edmonds and Alexander. And, you know, I think this is a situational pass rusher for the Bills. So him being able to focus in on a single thing with his athletic profile gives me some appeal. Now, we shouldn't get that excited. This is a guy entering his fifth season that's been on two different teams. That's, you know, he's played some, hasn't made that big of an impact. He was available on a one-year deal at this point in free agency. I mean, you got to kind of keep that in mind with the whole thing. But if I want to kind of find the silver lining and excitement with this deal, it's that he's highly athletic, he can play in a single role, and that he challenges the depth of that position group where Mike Love and Eddie Yarborough absolutely need competition. Now, I think the Bills will probably draft an edge rusher or two, which is great. But right now, as it stands, not knowing who's going to be available, how the draft's going to unfold, this is a good move, a good low-risk move to provide much-needed competition at a critical spot in terms of edge rusher on a 4-3 defense. Now, with that said, the Bills did bring back Eddie Yarborough on a one-year deal. He was an exclusive rights free agent, so he was always going to be back. This was more of a formality that he's officially signed and he's brought back. He's a guy that seems to make some plays every year in preseason and then does nothing in the regular season. And so, I mean, he's been kind of fool's gold, thinking that he was going to do something after shining in preseason for so many years. And then for 2 years in a row on the active roster, his contributions have been marginal. We even saw Mike Love eat into his snaps at the end of the season last year. So Eddie Yarborough's back. He's got competition in Eli Harold. I think more competition's coming in the draft. And in a perfect world, Eddie Yarborough's not on this football team. And if he is, it's because he's really improved. But I kind of feel like we know exactly who Eddie Yarborough is. Hopefully the Bills have strengthened the depth and we're not talking about him for much longer. Sorry to be harsh. I mean, just being honest. One other thing that came through I thought was interesting is some of these rumors with the Detroit Lions, who hold the number 8 pick in the 2019 NFL draft, right in front of the Buffalo Bills at number 9. And Albert Breer of Monday Morning Quarterback recently put out that the Lions are aggressively looking to trade back. And what's interesting is that's right in front of the Bills. And so the rumor out there is that the Atlanta Falcons are the team that would love to move up from 14 to 8 to get Ed Oliver. Chad Forbes and Benjamin Albright have put that out there in the Twitter space, that Atlanta is a team looking to move up, Detroit is a team looking to move back, and it would make sense that Ed Oliver's the guy. And that would be disappointing because I'd love for the Bills to draft Ed Oliver at number 9. So, seems like the dream of Ed Oliver at 9 could be a little bit more challenging than we thought, especially if Detroit moves back and Atlanta moves up. And you can see the clear need, how Ed Oliver would fit that defense so well. That's predicated on speed and penetration. I mean, he's a dream fit for them. It makes a lot of sense. So let's hope it doesn't happen. But if you're watching the draft and you see a trade right in front of the Bills,
get ready for Ed Oliver to come off the board and get him out of your mind for the Bills, because he'll probably be a Falcon in that situation. Moving on to the Bills' preseason schedule has come out. The Bills opened their preseason at home against the Indianapolis Colts. Then they travel to the Carolina Panthers, travel to the Detroit Lions, which will be a nationally televised game, and close at home against the Vikings. I'm excited about that Panthers game, obviously, being here in Charlotte, Buffalo coming to town. We'll have to do something special for that regarding this podcast, but I like to see that anytime you get a chance to get live eyes on the team. I try to do that if it's relatively close to my home here in Charlotte. I'm not sure there's a whole lot to take away from this. It's the preseason schedule. Thought it was interesting that the Bills had that nationally televised game, the week three, right? The big preseason game is week three, the one where your starters play into the second half. So that'll be on national TV for everyone to see. The Panthers are always interesting from the parallels. And of course, a lot of Buffalo transplants are in the Charlotte area, including yours truly. Opening with the Colts, which will be, that's interesting because it's a well-coached team. It's a team that has done well to get the most out of its personnel. And so, I think that'll be a good test right away. And then the Vikings, so a good defense. And so I like the idea of being challenged with a good defense there at the end. Not sure how much the starters would play in week four of the preseason, but the schedule has been announced and you can start considering your plans for what preseason games you may wish to attend. The other thing that came out is Quentin Spain's deal. He signed a 1 year, $2.05 million deal with the Buffalo Bills. And what this prompted me to do is examine the contracts of the Bills' offensive linemen and see if that could give us some clues as to who the starters could be. The Bills signed six free agent offensive linemen to add to this mix of, they already had Deion Dawkins and Wyatt Teller and Vlad Dukas and Russell Bodine. And so what I did is I researched this from SpotRack.com, which is a wonderful resource for the Bills and every team's salary cap situation and learning more about contracts. And I stacked them up 1 to 13, revealing the pecking order in terms of who's paid the most to the least. And let's look at this. The highest paid offensive lineman for the Buffalo Bills in terms of cap hit in 2019, Mitch Morse, $10.9 million. Number two, Ty Nsekhe, $4.8 million. Number three, Spencer Long, $3.9 million. Number four, John Feliciano, $3.4 million. Russell Bodine, $2.8 million. Vlad Dukas, $2.08 million at number six. Number seven is Quentin Spain, $2.05 million. Adrian Waddle, number eight at $2 million. Deion Dawkins, number nine, $1.1 million. Jeremiah Searles, $645,000. Connor McDermott, I guess a tie for number 10, but number 11 at $645,000. Wyatt Teller at $635,000 at 12. Ike Boker at $570,000. He's 13, the lowest paid offensive lineman on the team. So what can we take away from this? Well, first of all, Bodine and Dukas can be cut for some cap savings. And I just don't know if they have a clear course to this roster. And so if you take them out of the mix, your top five highest paid offensive linemen are Morse, Nsekhe, Long, Feliciano, and Spain. I think it's really interesting that Spain is the lowest paid out of Long and Feliciano, and there might be the most intrigue about him potentially being a starter for this team. So what are my big takeaways here? First of all, I think Spencer Long has a really good chance to be a starter for this team. John Feliciano has a really good chance to be a starter for this team. Those could be your two starting guards. Morse at center and Nsekhe at tackle, Dawkins your other tackle. Now, Dawkins and Teller's deals are very low. And that's because they're still on the rookie deal. All these other guys are vets. And so that speaks to that. But, I think that Long being the third highest paid offensive lineman on the team says a lot about his potential opportunity to start. I know that it's going to go down to whoever wins these battles, but we need to be thinking very seriously about Long as one of these starters, as well as Feliciano. Now, I know there's only going to be two starting guards, and Quentin Spain will certainly be looking over their shoulder, especially coming in with, you know, just on a one-year deal, a guy that's wanting to probably position himself for a big deal this next offseason. And, yeah, you know, Feliciano and Long have, you know, multi-year deals with the Bills. So that's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. But I think Dawkins will be one of the starters, even though he's the ninth highest paid offensive lineman. But that guard spot, kind of telling that Long is third at $3.9 million, third highest paid offensive lineman on the team. All right, the last thing I want to talk about is the Bills signed rugby player Christian Wade through the International Player Pathway Program. I guess it's not that he was signed, he was allocated to the Bills. And so I've learned a lot about this International Pathway Program, which is pretty cool because it really encourages and gives opportunities for teams to bring in players from outside the United States and see if they can develop and become NFL football players, which I think is awesome. I am all for the globalization of football. This sport is so good. It's such a great game that we need to share it with the world. And seeing more international players coming into the NFL is something I love. Seeing more international fans is something that I absolutely love. You know, I get questions and interactions on a daily basis from people all across the globe, and it is fantastic. Some of the most passionate fans I interact with on a daily basis are from Europe or from South America, and I think that's freaking awesome. Absolutely awesome. And so, you know, we've seen more and more players come into the league through this program, more and more international players, and I'm here for every bit of that. So the Bills got themselves a player here in Christian Wade. He's 28 years old, kind of an older guy, playing running back. I don't know anything about rugby, to be honest with you. I watched the highlight clips that I'm sure you guys also watched that were tweeted out from various people when the Bills signed him, and I get really excited. You saw him kind of get out of some tight spaces and make people miss, and he looks really quick and shifty and agile, and all those things are wonderful things that you would want to be true in an NFL running back. Now, I mean, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn in terms of becoming a running back, and you know, sometimes I think we can look at a physical skill set and say, wow, that guy would be a great running back. But one thing that I've really learned in my years as a draft analyst, which is what I do full time, is there is so much nuance to it. There's so much nuance to taking a handoff and understanding your step cadence and how you read the defense and how the steps that you take impact the flow of the second level and how you as a running back can make your blockers better by the steps and cadence and balance and pace that you run the football with. And so, you know, it's not just that he's got physical upside to be a running back. It's that there's a whole lot to learn. And so I'm not being dismissive here or like trying to toss a wet blanket over the situation. I'm just talking about the reality of what he's up against. And so I love that he kind of gets what I understand with this is he's basically exempt from the 90, and if the Bills choose, they can put him on the practice squad and they'll have an extra practice squad spot, and that, you know, they can't sign him off the roster, but it just gives him this exposure and this opportunity to basically take an entire year to learn the game with very little pressure in terms of having to play or, you know, be able to contribute in a way that makes you worthy of being on a 53. There's that exemption. So I like what the NFL has done here to make this a realistic opportunity. And we'll see how that goes. It'll be fun to watch, like seeing what he does in preseason this year and how he's used in OTAs and the comments that are made about him and seeing how this transition works. Obviously, I'm rooting for him. He's on the Bills, right? I just think it's going to be a real challenge, and it's one of the positions I think I've grown the greatest appreciation for here this offseason, particularly just talking to different running back prospects just getting to know more about that position, just how much nuance and mental thought goes into it as opposed to just, hey, here's the ball, go make something happen. So it's going to be an adjustment. Now, obviously, pass protection, catching the football, running routes, you know, all that stuff goes into this, and will be fascinating to watch that unfold and see how that comes together. That's going to do it for us today here on the podcast. Hope you enjoyed this. Had a lot to catch up on. And so I wanted to recap and make sure you guys got my thoughts on everything relevant that happened so far this week. It's been a great week here on the pod. Make sure that you catch up on anything that you may have missed. Hit that subscribe button. Leave that 5-star rating. Review the podcast. All that stuff really helps. Really appreciate any time anyone shares or retweets the podcast. Helping us grow this thing. Having a lot of fun, guys. So I hope you guys are as well listening. I'm guessing if you're listening here at the end of this podcast that you are enjoying it. So thanks so much for giving me your ear and allowing me the opportunity to talk Bills football for 20-25 minutes a day. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Locked On Bills.